Now George steals a pass and heads for the other end, where he throws down the right hand. Indiana is dominating a 14-point run.
It's time for Pacers Weekly.
Live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis, you're listening to Pacers Weekly. I'm Pat Boylan. Pacers and Cavaliers game number 4 is tomorrow afternoon, a 1 o'clock tip. ABC has the TV coverage. You can be there by visiting pacers.com/tickets, Bankers Life box office as well. Game 3 was a wild one. It's interesting because if you just look at the scores of all 3 playoff games so far, you see a 1-point loss in game number 1, a 6-point loss in game number 2, a 5-point loss in game number 3, where the scores are all well over 100 points. And if you were to just look at those scores, you would assume, yeah, maybe they've all followed a similar storyline. But game 3 was so different and fascinating for many levels, disappointing if you're a Pacers fan, I know. But a game where you get up 25 points in the first half, 26 points in the first half at one point. And we'll talk with CJ Miles coming up here in a little bit. I think he summed it up pretty well, saying that first half is an example of how well we can play, where our ceiling is, the potential of this team, which we have seen at times this year. The Pacers swept the Rockets. The Pacers swept Oklahoma City. The Pacers came a last-second shot, which was later reviewed as traveling away from beating San Antonio. And the Pacers were leading the Cleveland Cavaliers by 25 points at halftime on Thursday night. And then the second half came, and I think the Pacers, you know, while they discussed keeping the foot on the gas, it's a little natural to not come out with that same fire you did in the first half because you have played so well, and you got to give, I think, Cleveland a lot of credit. I think you have to give Tyronn Lue a lot of credit. In that first 6 minutes, I think, of the third quarter was vital. You know, if the Pacers were able to keep that lead up in the 20s, then maybe Cleveland starts to think about, okay, let's look big picture, let's look game 4. Let's look at a 7-game series. And they were able to go on a 13-3 run to open up the third quarter. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a 15-point deficit and it feels a little bit different. And, you know, a team that has LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. But in this game, the story, the focus, every spotlight was on LeBron James. In fact, the Cavaliers, here's how good LeBron James is. In the fourth quarter of that game, the Cavaliers chose to sit Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in part because they wanted to make sure that the guy that was shooting the most shots was LeBron James. They have two other All-Stars, and they wanted to sit those guys in part because they wanted every last attempt possible for LeBron James, and then they put four other shooters on the floor, and if the Pacers were going to double or triple team James, then they were going to have open looks around the perimeter. And Cleveland came storming back, and it's a story of you start to see that momentum build, and it's so tough when you've got the best player in the world and the defending champs and they're on this huge run, it's incredibly tough to stop. And that was certainly a wild one on Thursday night in Indianapolis, in a game where the Pacers played so well in the environment and the energy, especially in the first half at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Stevenson was hitting threes. I remember one moment Stevenson hits a three. And then on the other end, LeBron James and Lance are isolated out in the post, and the fans started coming to their feet. It was the second quarter of a game, and you had the fans coming to their feet because of the energy and what this was, and of course what Lance has brought. But unfortunately for Indiana, obviously the game goes Cleveland's direction, 119-114. The series not over. Sunday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Jeff Teague saying we're not going to get swept. There's still a lot of pride on the line for this one, and of course it takes 4 to win a series. Cleveland will try to do that on Sunday. Indiana will try to stave off elimination. It's a 1 o'clock tip. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. And if you cannot, we will have radio pregame coverage starting a half hour before. Postgame coverage, as always, with Mark Boyle and Eddie White. You'll hear from those two coming up later in the show as well. And on Fox Sports Indiana, make sure to turn it over if you're watching on television. Kristen Airy, Quinn Buckner, Jeremiah Johnson, and the crew have you covered with postgame coverage on Fox Sports Indiana. Great show planned for you. We would love to hear from you. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in and chat Pacers basketball. We're with you here from 10 until 11 o'clock. As always, a packed show is coming up. We will have 3 live guests, Mark Boyle, Mark Monteith, and Jeremiah Johnson will all join the show live. You'll hear from CJ Miles, Nate McMillan, Eddie White, and more. We fit all of that into an hour, and it starts coming up in just a moment. Mark Boyle, Nate McMillan, their conversation after the break on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
All right, so check it out.
Check it out.
It's NBA season, and this year, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that Mountain Dew.
Is now a partner of the National Basketball Association. So what does that mean?
Glad you asked.
That means the unmistakably refreshing citrus kick in every bottle of Dew is taking fans like you and the NBA season on a ride like never before. So get an ice-cold Mountain Dew in your grip.
Do the Dew.
And get into the game anytime, anywhere, any way you can. Because this season, the game is getting charged on a whole new level. Mountain Dew. Proud partner of the NBA and the only way to charge the game.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans, this is Paul George. More than 110,000 Hoosiers are living with Alzheimer's disease, but you can help stop it with your donations to Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day for the Alzheimer's Association. Look for Boomer, the Pacemates, and volunteers from our official insurance partner, Bankers Life, collecting donations all day on Monument Circle. Your donations will help support Hoosiers facing Alzheimer's disease.
Friday, June 2nd is Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
From 10 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning during the season, this is Pacers Weekly on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Pacers and Cavaliers. Game number 4 at Bankers Life Fieldhouse is at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And all fans in attendance will get a rally towel with the Pacers jersey in the year 2017 labeled on it. That comes with your ticket. If you can be there, pacers.com/tickets is the way to do it if you haven't yet. All right, let's hear now from play-by-play voice Mark Boyle. He's with head coach Nate McMillan. Mark.
Thank you, Pat. Before we look at game 4, let's go back to game 3, if only for a moment. A dramatic turn of events. You dominate the first half and then get dominated in the second half. Playoff losses are demoralizing in general. Was that one any more so?
That was tough, and you know, you have to really look at it, learn, and move on, and get to get ready for the next game. As much as it hurts to have control of a game like that and to lose it, you have to get yourself ready and prepare for the next game. You know, we got one more test on Sunday, and you know, we got to do a better job, and most of that is playing a 48-minute game. We did a good job for 24 minutes, but it's a 48-minute ball game.
Is it more about execution then than it is about strategy or tactics?
Well, it's about both, but it's certainly about execution and executing in that second half. I didn't think that we came out with the sense of urgency we needed to you know, play that game as if it's you're behind. We had that team on the ropes, and we needed to be even more aggressive. You can't allow a team like that to get any confidence or momentum, and we allowed that. I thought offensively, because we were they were scoring. Now we're taking the ball out of the net. Our offensive execution wasn't as sharp. I thought we started and not execute on the offensive end of the floor as well as we did in the first half, and all of a sudden you start to miss a few shots, and you get a little hesitant from the perimeter, and that I thought played into the whole second half.
The big picture is daunting. You're down 3-0, but if you look at it, and this is a cliche, as one game at a time, it becomes less daunting. Is it difficult to compartmentalize like that?
No, that's exactly what you have to do and where we are, you know. So, you know, that's real. It is a one-game series for us, and it's an elimination game, you know. But we've played in these games the last five games of the season. We needed to win out to get ourselves into the playoffs. And if we would have lost one of those five games, we wouldn't be here today. So we've been in this situation. You know, I talked to our guys about that. You know, it was do or die for us on Sunday. And we know that we are capable of playing with this team, but we got to put together a 48-minute game.
Have you seen anything from them that you didn't expect to see?
No. No, you know, we made some adjustments to their trapping and their switching. And again, we played a real solid game, I thought, the first half, our last game against them, and was able to score. I thought defensively we worked harder to, you know, keep our matchups that we wanted and not give them the matchup they wanted. And we was able to stop them and rebound. But again, you have to do that for 48 minutes. There's really, there really hasn't been any surprises as far as what they're going to do offensively or their defensive schemes.
Understanding that there are no style points, there are no morale victories here, you have had extended stretches of successful play. Does that factor in looking to game four? Are the guys perhaps even more confident than they were starting the series because they have had extended stretches of success?
And no question, and we should be. You know, this series could really be 2-1 us, I feel. You know, we had an opportunity in Cleveland to win that first game, and, you know, we missed a shot, a wide-open look by CJ that we could have knocked down. And our last game here, we're up by 20, playing good basketball and had control of that game. So, you know, I'm looking at it, and I want our guys to look at the fact that we've had the opportunity to win two of these three games that we played. So, yeah, we should have confidence going in that we can get it done. But, you know, against a good team like that, you got to play a 48-minute game.
Final thought, and it's a little off topic, but I'm curious. You've been around long enough so that you played against Jordan. Now you're competing against James from a different perspective, watching from the sideline. Is one or the other more dominant in your view?
I think Michael did it a different way. You know, LeBron is doing it from the point position. He's basically organizing, making adjustments, adapting on the fly, out on the floor. And, you know, I was just talking to our coaches about, you know, our new sets that we are putting in and our ATOs that we're running. I'm finding that this guy is coming out on the floor looking at the alignment and putting his team in the defense that they need to be in, doing ATOs or at the end of the game situations and putting matchups that he wants on the ball. There are times where he's covering CJ when we go into the timeout, and when we come out of the timeout, he's looking at situations, putting himself on Jeff Teague. You know, so we're seeing some stuff that a Tom Brady, you talk about a Tom Brady in football, they go up to the line and they look at how the defense is set, and then they make audibles, and these are things that LeBron are doing both offensively and defensively. When he has the ball in the offensive end of the floor, he's looking at who's out there, and he's bringing that guy that he wants up into the pick and roll, trying to get the switch so that they can attack.
So am I hearing you correctly? I know you're not denigrating Michael, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth. Are you suggesting that LeBron's approach is more cerebral?
Yeah, but it's different. You know, Michael was scoring on you, and defensively, he could stop you. You know, LeBron is doing this from a point guard position, in a sense that he's coming down with the ball, and and calling his plays and putting his teammates in situations where they could take advantage of the defense on the offensive end of the floor. On the defensive end of the floor, he's taking himself off the ball so he can read what that team is doing, and he can give help when and where it's necessary. So it's different. It's a different. They both are unbelievable. But, you know, Michael was more of a, you give him the ball, he's going to put it in the bucket. LeBron is, you give him the ball, he's going to make the read, and he's hitting everybody. You know, it's just a different style of play. I would take both of them.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he so often does, in these Saturday morning visits. The Pacers getting set for Game 4 of this best-of-7 tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Our coverage starts at 12:30. I'm Mark Boyle. We go back to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, thank you. Coming up next, after hearing from the head coach, we'll hear from a player, C.J. Miles. You'll get his take as the Pacers get ready for Game Number 4 Sunday afternoon. Hear from C.J. next on Pacers Weekly.
A meatball is just a meatball until you've had Mimi Blue's meatballs. The meatballs you eat here could practically have their own food group. This isn't your basic meatball on spaghetti. This is comfort food crafted with love and flavors that will have you going back again and again. With their extensive menus for lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch, you could potentially never have the same meatball and sauce twice. You can invent your own dish every time you visit. Two locations, in Carmel at 12505 Old Meridian and on Mass Ave. Mimi Blue's. Now that's a tasty meatball.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Paul George. More than 110,000 Hoosiers are living with Alzheimer's disease, but you can help stop it with your donations to Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day for the Alzheimer's Association. Look for Boomer, the Pacemates, and volunteers from our official insurance partner, Bankers Life, collecting donations all day on Monument Circle. Your donations will help support Hoosiers facing Alzheimer's disease.
Friday, June 2nd is Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
This is Pacers Weekly on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Pacers down 3-0, but still alive. They'll have game number 4 coming up in Bankers Life Fieldhouse tomorrow. A 1 o'clock tip. Note the earlier tip. By the way, if you're headed out to the Indy 11 game coming up a little bit later today, Greg Rakestraw was previewing that before the 10 o'clock hour. We'll have some Pacers influence there as well. Stop by our tent and our setup if you have a chance. Headed over, they still call it the mic, I think, over there. Indy 11 game, we'll have some Pacers stuff set up over there coming up in just a little bit. All right, we heard from head coach Nate McMillan. Let's hear now from C.J. Miles. This was his take at practice yesterday between games 3 and 4.
I think you take everything within stride. I mean, it happened. Obviously, I'm upset about it. We should be upset about it. You take that and you move forward with it to the next game. That's just the way I look at it. I mean, you definitely look at the first half and look at the way you played, the energy, the ball movement, getting stops, the things that allowed us to be able to build the lead. And then you can look at the second half and look at how you give away a lead or how you don't want to play in certain situations. So there's definitely things you take from it as far as what you want to do is plan for the next game as far as what you can and can't do and what you know works and what you know can help us a lot. I think we just got to – I mean, your back's against the wall. We've been in this situation for about a month now. Getting the playoffs, we were in a situation, and now we're in it again. So, I mean, it's a familiar feeling. I hate to say that, but our guys respond to that. I mean, you look at it, everybody's ultimate goal is to win a championship. And only way you can win the championship is the start of it. The start of winning the championship is winning the game on Sunday. That's the way I look at it. The ultimate goal, what everybody starts the season planning for, you want to get to the playoffs to be able to do that. And I think you look at it one game at a time, but the bigger picture also to get to it starts on Sunday. That's the way I look at it. I'm not a moral victory guy. I don't think that's a thing, especially now, because you say that three times in a row. I mean, what does that mean? Like, they were close the first game, we close the second game, close the third game. Like, yeah, obviously that's we felt we can compete with anybody we were going to be matched up against coming to the playoffs. And I think we've shown that on the floor that we can compete. And that's, I think that was the given part. I think now it's the mental and locking in and being able to do things consistently throughout the game to be able to put yourself in position to win them. It's not about being close. Nobody's ever won a ring being close.
That's C.J. Miles, the always honest and upbeat C.J. Miles. Appreciate his thoughts. That was coming yesterday at practice as the Pacers have 2 days to prepare for game number four, which takes place on Sunday. We heard from Mark Boyle a little bit ago when he was with Nate McMillan. We'll hear from him again. He joins us live coming up next on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Sometimes it's the little things that make you crazy.
Is it 3 a.m.?
It's 3 a.m.
And sometimes the little things can be downright painful.
Who thinks he's a big dog?
KeyBank knows little things like banking fees can add up to big things, and those can be annoying things. That's why we started our hassle-free account. When you use the red key to open a hassle-free account, you'll have no overdraft fees, no monthly service charges, and no minimum balance fees. And that's a pretty big thing.
Nice dog.
Take the first step to financial wellness. Use the red key to make your banking hassle-free. Go to key.com/hasslefree or visit a KeyBank branch. KeyBank. Use the red key. Account early closure fee and other miscellaneous charges apply. Member FDIC.
Come to Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Saturday, May 27th for the greatest music and racing. Grammy-winning artist Keith Urban. It's gonna be a long, hot summer. See him live the day before the Indianapolis 500, presented by Pengrade. With special guests, Dustin Lynch and Clayton Anderson. On Legends Day, presented by Firestone. Keith Urban, live May 27th. Ticket prices increase May 23rd. Reserve your tickets now at IMS.com.
On 107.5 FM and 1070 The Fan, you're listening to Pacers Weekly. I'm Pat Boylan. Joining us live now is Pacers radio play-by-play voice Mark Boyle. Mark, we just heard your conversation with Nathan McMillan. When you had a chance to talk with him, what did you get a sense for as his mood, maybe as the team's mood here as they get ready for game number four after losing a pretty tough one in game three?
Sometimes it's hard to tell. We were at practice yesterday, and it seemed a bit subdued. And Nate seemed a bit subdued, too, during our visit afterwards, but I didn't get the sense that he was down, if you see the difference. I think everybody was impacted by the loss in Game 3 because once you got to halftime, it became so unexpected. And I'm sure it's difficult to regroup from, but one of the things I've known over the years is that these players and coaches are really good at compartmentalizing and letting things go. You see it all the time during the course of an 82-game season. You get on a bus or a plane after a game, and you can't really tell whether the team has won or lost because you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to get to that mindset to survive 82 games. And although this loss was devastating, and I think there was a sense not of necessarily dejection or anything like that, but it's difficult to imagine somebody not being affected by something like that. But Sunday is still 24 hours plus away, and I think they'll be ready to go.
When we were having this show last weekend on Saturday, it was a couple of hours before game number one out in Cleveland. Now that we're a week past that date and we have three games to look at, you look at the final scores, they're all pretty similar. The Pacers are within a few points, and as in the case in game number one, within a point. The games have been different, but through three games, has anything majorly surprised you?
Well, the one thing that surprised all of us, I think, was losing a 25-point halftime lead in game three. That said, I'm not necessarily surprised the Pacers are down 3-0. We discussed this at the start of the series, and I think that we both agreed that Cleveland was the better team and would very likely win the series, but that the Pacers could compete. And we've seen that. They have been competitive in all three games. They had a chance to win game one on the last possession. They had a 25-point lead at halftime in game three. And so as Nate pointed out in our visit, it's not difficult to envision the Pacers being up 2-1. But they're not. They're down 3-0 because Cleveland is the better team and made more plays than the Pacers did. So, no, not really. I'm not surprised by anything in general. The one thing I might be mildly surprised about is the fact that Cleveland is shooting 50% from the floor over the course of the series, even understanding that they're one of the elite offensive teams in the game. I thought the Pacers might be able to do a little bit better than that defensively, although certainly I never thought they could shut the Cavaliers down.
Paul George has been really good since the start of March. You go back to last year in the playoffs and even his playoffs before that, it seemed like he's elevated his game. That was true in the Toronto series, Pacers going to seven games in that one. He's been really solid in this series as well. In fact, 36-15-9 was his line in the Pacers' Game 3 loss. Is there any change that you've noticed that's allowed him to elevate his game in this way in these key games?
Not really. He's always been very good. So these numbers are better than the norm. But his play has always been exemplary, and he's always been the best player on the team, at least for the past few years. So I can't really look at any one thing. I think if you looked at a shot chart or watched video of the games, you might see that he's taking fewer bad shots. That's just a sense that I have from watching. I don't know how you quantify that. He's not turning the ball over as often as he was earlier. So I think in general, he's not forcing as many things. But at the same time, he's managed to grab control and become even more a focal point than he was before without compromising the rest of his teammates. Because remember, during that 5-game winning streak, at the end of the season, even though he was putting up monstrous numbers, he wasn't alone. The Pacers had a real nice run there. And over that 5-game winning streak, they were averaging a lot more points per game than they did during the regular season and shooting for a higher percentage. So he was not alone. Others had elevated their game too. I can't cite any one thing, but I can say that he's really been excellent. And without it, the Pacers wouldn't have made the playoffs down the stretch.
The Pacers in their history have never been swept in a best-of-seven series. In fact, they've only gone down 3-0 one other time. That was in Chicago, against Chicago, the Bulls. The Pacers did get game four here in that series. So you haven't been in this situation. You personally haven't seen this situation very often at all. That said, game number four here, does this feel like, I guess, how would you describe it from Indiana's perspective? A little bit of a gut check game, a pride type of game?
I think that's accurate, and Cleveland is good in these situations. They've been in eight of them. This will be the eighth one. They've swept the other seven, so they don't fool around. And that's one of the things that I like about LeBron James. He understands the importance of rest, and his teams generally have gotten it at the end of the first round because they take care of inferior opposition. I expect the Pacers to compete. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I do expect them to compete. It's difficult to imagine or envision for those of us who aren't there, and I include myself in this. I've never played professional basketball, so I've never been down 3-0 in a best of seven. And from the layman's perspective, it's a little bit difficult for me to envision the mindset that has to come into play here. And that's something that they talked about yesterday. You can't look at it as, well, we're down 3-0. We're playing the champion, and we need to beat them four straight times. That's very daunting. It's reality, but it's very daunting. And so you tend, if you can, to segment it, look at Sunday. If we win Sunday, then we can play Tuesday. So let's just think about Sunday. And if we do win Sunday, then we'll look at Tuesday. That if we win Tuesday, then we can play Thursday. It's a different way to look at the same situation. And as I said before, professional athletes and coaches are very good at compartmentalizing. And I think maybe they'll be able to get to the point where they look at it as just one game to extend the season rather than needing to win four to advance. And I don't know what'll happen tomorrow. Cleveland is very good with James in these closeout situations, and they have the better team to begin with. But the Pacers have shown enough in this series to feel good about the way they can compete and the way they might be able to extend the series. So I would be surprised if they didn't play well tomorrow.
That's Pacers radio play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle. You will hear him as part of the call at 1 o'clock. He'll have the call against Pacers and Cavaliers right here locally on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan, a part of the Kroger pregame show, which begins at 1230 as well. Mark, thanks for your time here this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's Mark Boyle. Coming up next, it's time to go around the house with Eddie White. We'll find who Eddie has tracked down in a matter of moments. This is Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
All right, so check it out.
Check it out.
It's NBA season, and this year, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that Mountain Dew.
Is now a partner of the National Basketball Association. So what does that mean?
Glad you asked.
That means the unmistakably refreshing citrus kick in every bottle of Dew is taking fans like you and the NBA season on a ride like never before. So get an ice-cold Mountain Dew in your grip. Do the Dew. And get into the game anytime, anywhere, any way you can. Because this season, the game is getting charged on a whole new level. Mountain Dew. Proud partner of the NBA and the only way to charge the game.
Hey, race fans, get pumped up for Miller Lite Carb Day. Featuring the Steve Miller Band and special guest, Bare Naked Ladies.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Friday, May 26th at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's the greatest concert in racing. Miller Lite Carb Day with the Steve Miller Band and Bare Naked Ladies. May 26th at IMS. Tickets start at just $30. Buy now at ims.com/carbday.
Pacers Weekly continues on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. The Indiana Fever, their training camp, begins tomorrow. Their season just a couple of weeks away. The preseason even closer than that. Fever longtime president Kelly Kroskoff is who Eddie White has tracked down for this week's segment of Eddie White's Around the House. Eddie.
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. And as the Pacers wrap up their season as we go through the playoffs, there's another season that's about to start. In fact, training camp opens tomorrow. A lot of new faces, a lot of changes, and who better to talk to than one of my all-time favorite people?
Right, whatever.
Oh, get out of here. The president of our Indiana Fever, Kelly Kroskoff. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. Everybody you talk to is your favorite person. I know how this works, but today I'll be your favorite person. How about that?
Deal. Okay, a lot to cover here. We got camp starting tomorrow. Let's start, first of all. You've now had a few months now to work with Pokey. I love her to death. I love her personality. She's ingratiated herself already into the community. The community loves her. What have you seen so far that really makes you feel, you know what, I made the right call when I picked her to head this team?
Oh, got so many things, really. You know, her experience, she's a winner. She's got she's just a basketball junkie. You know, there's some coaches who kind of feel like, okay, I got it down. I mean, she's constantly watching video, talking to somebody else. She's got a lot of friends in the NBA game. She's got a lot of friends in the college game. She's constantly looking at, you know, game film, plays, talking to players. And, you know, I like the way she thinks. I mean, she's got – we're going to see a really nice up-tempo, a lot of possession game, pushing the ball, defensive-oriented, which is what, you know, a lot of our – the DNA of the Indiana Fever is about. So – and I've just enjoyed working with her. She's got a winner. She's a winner mentality. A lot of fun. I think people here are going to really get to know her over the years.
I think the people are going to love her because there's no pretense with her. She's real. I mean, you can go up there and just talk to her, and she's so real and genuine.
She really is. You know, Louisiana gal, Southerner. So she's just got a great way about her. I think the players already have embraced her. You know, we've had some fan events and they've gotten to know her too. So, you know, look, she knows what this league is about. She's kind of been involved in helping us grow the game of women's basketball in the WNBA. So, People should just understand that she's out there. She's going to be a great ambassador for our team and our franchise.
So there's one big change there. And then the other one is, of course, Tamika no longer playing, but she's going to stay with the family, work with the Pacers and the Fever and the Mad Ants. But the draft, if you read anything about this draft, they're saying you guys stole a player in the first round. You got a good one. You had to be happy.
Very happy. You know, when I traded the first round pick for Candace Dupree, so super excited about having her here. She's an 11-year pro, power forward, five-time All-Star. You know, she's going to bring great experience, great leadership, solid play to this team. And you get to the second round at the 17th pick when Erica McCall, a power forward out of Stanford, was there. On every board that we had, she was clearly a top, maybe 8 or 9, 12, 13, you're getting to 13, 14, and all of a sudden we're coming around the next round and she's sitting there. I mean, just a great all-around athlete and good size, can stretch the floor, has so much great potential. So we were really, honestly, you know, you say that every year, we were surprised, but we really were surprised this time that she was sitting there for us to take her. So excited about her, excited about all of our draft picks. This is, I tell you what, the WNBA is full of talent. These women are all good. Everybody's good, okay? It's just, you know, whether you fit on the roster, what spots are open, and how deep your depth chart goes.
We talked about this personally. I remember back to the Dolphin days when Dan Marino dropped all the way to the bottom of the first round, or five quarterbacks taken ahead, and Don Shula walked into his scouts and said, wait a minute, why is he still there? What do they know that we don't know? And he went with him, of course, Hall of Fame career. We talk about the WNBA is a little different, where you may have teams that really go for need and maybe not the better player, which is different because the NFL draft's coming up. They're going to go for more talent than need. Is that because there's only so many teams at WNBA and you have so many great players that need is more of an issue?
It really is, because you've got, you know, first of all, we sign free agents first. So a little bit different than the NBA, where you have your draft, then you have your free agency period. So we sign free agents first. So we already kind of had an idea how our roster was going to look. Most teams do, because you're re-signing your own free agents, you're signing other free agents. So now you are getting to need, because you're filling in from a depth standpoint, from a need, from, you know, wherever you need to add to for your backups. So, you know, there's some drafts where it's overall talent. You just take the best player available. And then there's others where, you know, you are really looking at that position. But it's a 12-team league, a lot of very limited opportunities. And I know for these young ladies, when they hear their name called, they know how special they are just to get into camp. You know, my phone is full and my inbox is full the night after the draft, because now the next phase is, can we just get invited to camp? Can we just come to your camp? And we only have 15 spots in camp. So, you know, so it is, this is the elite of the elite of women's basketball. So these are the best players out there.
One of the names that's so good to have her back. I mean, she was doing games for us broadcasting, but to have her now in a coaching role and really working with the players, one of the most popular Fever players of all time. And you really have built a family here. I mean, they really, these players, they come here, they stay here, they're connected with the fans. Tully Bevilacqua was back, and really, tell me about that.
You know, I'd been talking to Tully off and on through the years, and she's expressed her desire to get into coaching, and she's got her business here, her boot camp, by the way. Don't go over there, she'll kill you. But you know, she's been coaching up at Zionsville High School, and I wanted to try to find a way, continue to try to look for ways to get her involved. We had her involved with television as an analyst. But, you know, what she brings is obviously, as one of the best players of our franchise as we started our ascent to the top, was when I signed her back in 2005, basically. And we started in the playoffs and never looked back, and she was a big part of that. She's a tough Aussie, you know, high work ethic. I think for these players in a player development role, you know, she's been there. She understands what they're going through. She'll help them see the game through a lens of a player in terms of certain nuances on both ends of the floor. And just so excited to have her back in the fold and have her with the staff.
It's going to be fun between Pokey's Louisiana accent and this Australian accent. Oh, my God, you need a translator.
Right.
Hey, wrap it up. As we look forward to the season, what do you expect of the WNBA? Who are the contenders? Who do you think is going to be there when we get towards the end?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I mean, I think continuity is key in our league. I think in most leagues. And Minnesota's probably got the most continuity in terms of their roster. L.A., of course.
They got 19 Olympians on
the
roster.
But they're getting older. They're getting older. So, you know, I think Minnesota and L.A., who have a lot of continuity in terms of who they had last year to this year. And honestly, after that, I really feel like it's wide open. There's a lot of good young talent, and a lot of times it's you can get hot at the right time. You know, injuries play a big role because we play a 34-game schedule. But it's anybody's guess. I don't think anybody would have ever picked the Indiana Fever to be in the finals in 2015. And we go all the way to game five, you know. So, and nobody's picking us at all this year because we know why. But that just fuels our fire. You know, this group of returning players with Bree and Marissa and Erlena and Shanice, let me just tell you, they are ready for it because they know that nobody's paying attention. They're thinking that we're in a total, you know, rebuild mode. But there's a continuity here with this group of players that they'll be ready to prove a lot, basically, whenever we get started.
You're always generous with your time. Thank you so much. Camp starts tomorrow, so good luck, and we can't wait. I think it's going to be, like, you're right, this could be one of them special seasons for us.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to prove in various ways, so we're excited to get started, and we'll see how it goes.
How about that, Pat? I like getting the old Fever update. Camp starts tomorrow. I just got to get Pokey. I got to see if she makes a good gumbo. I got to see if she has a good recipe for gumbo.
I'm sure she does.
How about that, Pat? I'll get Pokey make some gumbo. We'll all get together and have some gumbo. Camp starts tomorrow. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great season for the Fever. Patrick, back to you, my friend.
Eddie and Kelly, thanks so much. By the way, we just sat down with Kelly Kroskoff as well recently for FeverBasketball.com to kind of preview the training camp and the season coming up. So if you'd like more coverage on Fever Basketball, hear what Kelly had to say, head on over to FeverBasketball.com. Single game tickets are on sale now for the Fever as well as the packages that they have available on the site. FeverBasketball.com is how you can be there, catch our coverage throughout the season, which, by the way, is going to be expanding. And you can buy single game tickets and ticket packages as well. The season starts for the Fever in mid-May, so we are only a couple of weeks away from Indiana Fever basketball being underway at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. All right, coming up next, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. We will close with him and Jeremiah Johnson before we hit 11 o'clock. This is Pacers Weekly.
A meatball is just a meatball until you've had Mimi Blue's meatballs. The meatballs you eat here could practically have their own food group. This isn't your basic meatball on spaghetti. This is comfort food crafted with love and flavors that will have you going back again and again. With their extensive menus for lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch, you could potentially never have the same meatball and sauce twice. You can invent your own dish every time you visit. Two locations, in Carmel at 12505 Old Meridian and on Mass Ave. Mimi Blue's. Now that's a tasty meatball.
All right, so check it out.
Check it out.
It's NBA season, and this year, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that Mountain Dew.
Is now a partner of the National Basketball Association. So what does that mean?
Glad you asked.
That means the unmistakably refreshing citrus kick in every bottle of Dew is taking fans like you and the NBA season on a ride like never before. So get an ice-cold Mountain Dew in your grip. Do the Dew. And get into the game anytime, anywhere, any way you can. Because this season, the game is getting charged on a whole new level. Mountain Dew. Proud partner of the NBA and the only way to charge the game.
Hey, race fans, get pumped up for Miller Lite Carb Day. Featuring the Steve Miller Band and special guest, Bare Naked Ladies.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Friday, May 26th at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's the greatest concert in racing. Miller Lite Carb Day with the Steve Miller Band and Bare Naked Ladies. May 26th at IMS. Tickets start at just $30. Buy now at IMS.com/carbday.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith joining us live here on Pacers Weekly. Mark, one thing we've talked about throughout this season here on this show, the Pacers have had a tendency to bounce back with effectiveness, and I think that was probably true in game number three. Indiana came out with one of their best halves of the season, and statistically, one of the best playoff halves in franchise history. They weren't able to hold on to it. So as we get ready for game number four, would you agree that that's certainly true again? Indiana is looking to tap into that ability to bounce back, something they've done a lot this year.
Yeah, they're going to try, you know, and it'll be interesting to see if they could do it again. But, you know, all season long, you and I have talked about how after some of their quote-unquote worst losses, you know, I'm thinking of a bad loss at Milwaukee or some of their home court losses like the Phoenix or games where they just didn't play well, they would bounce back and they would more often than not win the next game. So this team has a tendency to relax a bit or not know how to play with the big lead or kind of take things for granted perhaps when things are going well. But at the same time, they have bounced back. You know, when their proverbial backs are against the wall, they've come back and responded pretty well. So I listened to your conversation with Mark Boyle earlier, and I agree with him that I would expect them to come out tomorrow with a good effort. Whether that's enough to win or not, we'll see. But I would be surprised if they just don't come out tomorrow and bring a good effort, because this is what they've done all year. So we'll see. I mean, this is a unique situation that you have pointed out. A Patriot team has never been swept in a seven-game playoff series. I don't know if these guys are aware of that, but they have brought up the word pride quite a bit. They did yesterday and after the game the other night. And that's what you're playing for now. You don't want to get swept in the first round of the playoffs. And you know in the back of your mind how difficult this challenge is of beating the defending champions when you're down 3-0. But you only have one game to worry about right now, and that's tomorrow.
Yeah, I was trying to think, getting ready for this show yesterday, doing some research. To me, it hadn't seemed like, I couldn't remember in my memory bank of any four-game sweeps the Pacers have endured. You go back to that Chicago series in 2010, Indiana went down 3-0. A series that was kind of similar to this. The Pacers were in all three games, had a chance in all three games, couldn't win any. They then won game four. Mark's been covering this team forever. You, Mark, have also been covering this team forever. The situation hasn't come up very often. From your perspective, this feels kind of unique. Would you agree?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I could remember as far back as 1981, the Pacers were swept in an opening round series by Philadelphia, but that was a best of three. If you can imagine a best of three playoff series, and the Pacers, that was the Pacers' first NBA playoff appearance, in fact. And they lost game one in Philly, lost game two in Indianapolis, and got a standing ovation as they left the court because the fans were just happy that they had been in the playoffs, and that was a step forward. This team, excuse me, this team is also in development. This is not the roster that they've been pointing to for a long time. So, you know, I think you have to keep that in mind. And I think while they've teased us all year and had some really great moments, you know, this team is still, you know, still has some work to do. The front office has work to do to continue to grow. And it is kind of like Frank Vogel's first team that was down 3-0 to Chicago. Everybody knew that team was in transition, seemed to be on an upward trend, and so that was kind of an understandable situation. I don't think that Chicago team, though, was nearly as good as the Cleveland team is, so you got to factor that in as well. But it is a new situation, and that's why I guess we're all a little bit uncertain as far as what to expect tomorrow.
You wrote about this going into game number three, but I think it is still pertinent here as we prepare for game number four. Talking about Miles Turner, how do you balance him? Because, you know, one thing that really stuck out to me is you watch the NCAA championship game, and you have North Carolina and Gonzaga, and more players on the floor in that game were older than Miles than younger than Miles. So you obviously have to keep his age into consideration. That said, he's the Pacers' starting center, and he has struggled through three games so far. How do you evaluate his playoff series?
Yeah, you do have to keep all that into consideration. He's 21 years old, just turned 21, and he doesn't have what we call his man strength yet. You know, he's battling Tristan Thompson around the basket. He's had to do that all year with other centers. And while Miles came into the league with an NBA body, he obviously doesn't have the strength that veteran NBA centers have. So you have to keep that into consideration. But he, you know, if you're looking for the simplest explanation of why the Pacers haven't won a game yet and their pathway toward winning a game, I think it runs through Miles Turner. You know, he's averaging, what, around 8 points in this series. You know, he's averaging about half of what his regular season scoring average was, which was, I think, 14.5. His shooting percentages are down. I mean, he's obviously struggled here, and he hasn't hit open shots. That's just part of sports. You know, athletes go through those kind of things, particularly when you're as young as he is. But if he could come out tomorrow and have a big game, that would be a huge boost for the Pacers. And the fact that he hasn't had one helps explain why they haven't won the game yet. If he would, you know, they could be up 2-1 if he'd just be averaging his average during the regular season. So don't mean to pick on him, and we have to understand the situation, and he's still an awfully promising player, and he was a great draft pick. But, you know, he's going through something here in the playoffs like a lot of players do, and it's a whole different level.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us. Mark, as we look forward here, I would guess your coverage is dependent upon how this series continues over on Pacers.com.
Absolutely. It's all about the games right now. And Pacers.com will have all the coverage tomorrow. I'll be at practice here a little bit later today. And hopefully we get a game to cover on Tuesday as well. You know, the playoff games are always fun and interesting. And hopefully there will be more to come after tomorrow, but we'll have to see. But, yeah, a lot of coverage on Pacers.com, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's game.
And we will hear from you as part of the Kroger pregame show in that game. And as you said, Mark, hopefully many more here down the line this season. Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith, thanks for your time here this morning.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
All right, that's Mark Monteith. Coming up next, Jeremiah Johnson. He'll help us close out Pacers Weekly. We'll hear from him next. This is Pacers Weekly.
Catch summer fever with your Indiana Fever. In May, the Indiana Fever will begin their 18th season in the WNBA. They would like to include you on their roster. Buy a Fan's Choice 5-game pack for just $105. You choose the games based on your schedule and get access to special events to meet your favorite Fever players. The fun begins in May. Call today and get your Fever Fan's Choice 5-game pack. Call 317-917-2528.
All right, so check it out.
Check it out.
It's NBA season, and this year, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that Mountain Dew.
Is now a partner of the National Basketball Association. So what does that mean?
Glad you asked.
That means the unmistakably refreshing citrus kick in every bottle of Dew is taking fans like you and the NBA season on a ride like never before. So get an ice-cold Mountain Dew in your grip. Do the Dew. And get into the game anytime, anywhere, any way you can. Because this season, the game is getting charged on a whole new level. Mountain Dew. Proud partner of the NBA and the only way to charge the game.
A meatball is just a meatball until you've had Mimi Blue's meatballs. The meatballs you eat here could practically have their own food group. This isn't your basic meatball on spaghetti. This is comfort food crafted with love and flavors that will have you going back again and again. With their extensive menus for lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch, you could potentially never have the same meatball and sauce twice. You can invent your own dish every time you visit. Two locations, in Carmel at 12505 Old Meridian and on Mass Ave. Mimi Blue's. Now that's a tasty meatball.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Paul George. More than 110,000 Hoosiers are living with Alzheimer's disease, but you can help stop it with your donations to Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day for the Alzheimer's Association. Look for Boomer, the Pacemates, and volunteers from our official insurance partner, Bankers Life, collecting donations all day on Monument Circle. Your donations will help support Hoosiers facing Alzheimer's disease.
Friday, June 2nd is Bankers Life Forget Me Not Day. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
We're wrapping up Pacers Weekly on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan, live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. I'm Pat Boylan. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And a thanks to Jeremiah Johnson, who's joined us at this time all season long, the last 3 years this time all season long. He is with us now. You're in the locker room post-game. From what I saw, I was fairly impressed after what seemed like a pretty disheartening loss with the players' responsiveness. What did you get a sense for the mood in that locker room, and I'm sure it was a pretty difficult time?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement, Pat. At that point, I'm not sure what anyone is supposed to feel. I think fans want to see maybe anger and maybe trying to answer some, you know, come up with some explanation of what happened. And I didn't see the anger. I saw a lot of disappointment. Some of the guys were a little disgusted, but they were honest in their assessment of what happened and accepted responsibility. It's a difficult game. You could look at the box score and not having watched the game and say, oh, well, you hung in and you played the Cavs close. But everyone that was there knows that that was a game the Pacers should have won. Some players were asked after practice yesterday if they'd rather just get right back and play a game and not have the extra day off. I kind of think the extra day off is going to benefit this team, because even this morning I kind of woke up, and yesterday morning I woke up and I said, did that really happen? And I think that's probably what most of the players would have felt. Even today, there are still some lingering effects. I think by tomorrow, it'll be just time to play another game, and you'll be less thinking about what happened and how you let one get away, and instead maybe you can focus on just trying to get one win.
You know, we were hearing from C.J. Miles earlier in this show, and I think you would agree he is, if not over the last handful of years, if not the best interviews and one of the best sound bites. And I think he had kind of an interesting point of view, saying, you know, I'm not in this for moral victories. We had a chance to win this one and weren't able to. I always think it's refreshing to hear C.J. Miles' point of view, because on one hand, he is always positive and he always has a good perspective. But on the other hand, he kind of gives you the sense that, you know, the Pacers aren't happy with the fact that they've been close in three games. That's not been good enough for them.
No. And, you know, we've been around this team, as you said, for a while now. They went into this season with, you know, high expectations. I think everyone in that locker room and in this fan base kind of thought this could have been a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And if they would have played like they did the final couple of weeks, and really even through a couple games in this series earlier in the season, they would not be facing the Cavs in the first round. They would not, you know, be on the road to start a series. And that's where that's the opportunity that this team has now to try to overcome that. CJ's disappointed. Everyone's disappointed. I think the guys were kind of down yesterday in practice personally. And I think today's the day, as Nate said, yesterday was the day to look back. Today is the day to look forward. And so by today, no more thinking about Thursday, just focus on basically replicating what you did in the first half. And CJ Miles was a big part of the start. Obviously he didn't have a big scoring night, and you don't look at the box score and say he made a big impact, but you can't argue the fact that with him starting and with that rotation we saw to start that game and really for a lot of the first half, that the Pacers found something. The key will be is if they can, as I said, replicate that and put two halves together. And CJ's someone that I would lean on when times are tough to be someone who can still be a little bit positive, but has also played so many games and had such a long career that has been through disappointing moments and been able to come back from them.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. We've got about 90 seconds here. I want to hit on broadcast coverage plans as well, but quickly, did you notice a significant change with the starting lineup? You mentioned the strong first half. It wasn't CJ's best game, but Nate McMillan switching things up there in game three.
I think so. If CJ just being on the floor and is able to space the floor just a little bit and keep LeBron from helping off, sagging off, I think he sagged off Monte Ellis quite a bit when he was guarding Monte, especially in the first half of games. I think CJ being out there is a threat the Cavs respect, and I think he can go inside a little bit more than Monte can defensively. He's not a great defender, but he has a little more size and strength. So I think that that's the Pacers' best lineup. That's the one you'll see on the floor, either those five or perhaps Lance Stephenson in with any combination of another four starters.
All right, so remind everybody Fox Sports Indiana's coverage plans.
Once again, 1 o'clock tip-off for tomorrow's game. I know you'll be on the air at 12:30 with the radio coverage. We will be on the air after the game with 1 hour or more of post-game coverage. Kristen Airy, Eddie Gill, Quinn Buckner will be in the Fox Loft. I will be courtside immediately after the game, hopefully conducting an interview with a Pacers player in the moments after a win, and then we'll go inside the locker room. It'll be an interesting show. It'll either be a big bounce-back win, or the show might turn into more of a season reflection if the Pacers should lose. So either way, we'll have some comments from the locker room. Maybe I can get Pat Boylan to make an appearance as well, as I'm, unfortunately for you, I apologize to take the microphone from you for these locker room interviews, because you've done such a good job all season. It almost does not feel right, but I would have gladly handed you the microphone after game three.
that's Jeremiah Johnson. Again, if you're listening in the car, we'll have coverage on the radio side. Flip over from ABC to Fox Sports Indiana after the game on the television side to catch JJ and the crew over there. Jeremiah, thanks for your time here this morning.
Hey, Pat, let's talk next Saturday. How about that?
All right, sounds good. That's Jeremiah Johnson. Thanks, as always, for his time. David Deering, our producer, a thank you to him, and you will hear the producers coming up next. That wraps up Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Sometimes it's the little things that make you crazy.
Is it 3 a.m.?
It's 3 a.m.
And sometimes the little things can be downright painful.
Who thinks he's a big dog?
KeyBank knows little things like banking fees can add up to big things. And those can be annoying things. That's why we started our hassle-free account. When you use the red key to open a hassle-free account, you'll have no overdraft fees, no monthly service charges, and no minimum balance fees. And that's a pretty big thing.
Nice dog.
Take the first step to financial wellness. Use the red key to make your banking hassle-free. Go to key.com/hassle-free or visit a KeyBank branch. KeyBank. Use the red key. Account early closure fee and other miscellaneous charges apply. Member FDIC.